Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, New York State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:06 in the morning on July 22nd. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. And since the best half of this relationship is back today, you
back
can
back from special assignment.
Special assignment. You can write to us at Linda at KCNR1460.com. You know what? It's going to be a great day today. We got great guests. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. And we got Bad Bob.
Welcome back, Linda, voice of sanity.
Bob got to say, look at Bob. Just breaks himself up in the morning.
Every now and then, I have special assignments, that things that coincide with our work. So we kind of divide and conquer, as Carl and I call it.
Well, we have to. And but speaking of dividing and conquer, it's here's Conquer.
Well, it's going to be sunny and hot today with a high near 104. So get ready for that. Tonight's around going to be around 70. Today, you know, it's always so fun to share studios with people because I said, okay, what's today? Jimbo says, by the way, it's currently 70 degrees. You know, share a sister studio over there with Jimbo. Long time talent and, somebody who's been on the airwaves forever and quite an institution in Reading. So he goes, today's National Poets Day. So I thought I would share that. Today's National Poets Day.
I have a poem.
The American poet Stephen Vincent Benet is a beautiful American poet. Do you remember when you were in Iraq and you sent me one of your favorite poems?
I did.
What? Tell us about that poem.
If.
If by?
Rudyard Kipling. And it's, a poem's about taking responsibility and standing up for yourself and standing up and being a man or a woman and taking responsibilities, be able to face life, take what life gives you, being able to risk it all on a roll of dice and be able to walk away with your head held high. You know, and when you can do that, if you can walk with kings and also with the common man, then you are a man, my son. So it's a beautiful sentiment.
And there's something to be said about poetry and reading, and sharing in words like that through writing and reading and sharing your thoughts like that with someone else. And all that know us know that for 6 months we corresponded, and there was such a great intensity in that form of communication. And so here was this beautiful poem that I didn't know about that you'd sent to me from Iraq in a war. And I had really didn't know you very much, but got to know you through things that meant something to you, such as this poem. And a couple of the things that happened, I want to also kind of segue into things that are happening around town and poetry that is also in a form of music. Tonight is Market Fest. And one of the bands that's out there tonight, Elliot Randall, is out there tonight from 5 to 9. And don't forget about the Farmer's Market. We're going to talk about some other things. Club Dead Last Resort that's happening. It's also a form of poetry in the sense that, you know, writers put words in form on in the theater. And tonight, of course, and going throughout the weekend and throughout some of the months in August, Bill and Lisa Collins have written produced and directed the music in a show called Club Dead, The Last Resort, that's happening at the Riverfront Playhouse. Also on this day, you might want to know that Babe Ruth proved that he could catch a baseball in a stunt at Mitchell Field in New York, and the National Guard caught a baseball that was dropped from an airplane. The plane was at 200 feet, traveling about 100 miles per hour, as the cowhide hit the leather of Ruth's glove, the bam bam, yee, ouch. The bammin' babe.
The bammin' babe.
Bambino. That was it's 1926. In 1937, Hal Kemp and his orchestra recorded the now standard tune, Got a Date with an Angel. You might want to know that in 1934, because I know recently you watched the film, Public Enemy number one, the notorious John Dillinger, was gunned down and mortally wounded by FBI agents at the Biograph Theater in Chicago, Illinois. That was in 1934.
Accompanied by the woman in red.
This day.
That's it.
And in 1963, world heavyweight champion Sonny Liston hung on to his boxing title by knocking out Floyd Patterson in the first round in Las Vegas.
I remember that.
All those things really kind of
happened
on this day.
It did. Now, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to have representatives of the Reading Police Department here to talk about the negotiations, what was in the paper the other day, what was at the city council, and explain a little bit more from their side, from their point of view, of what's going on with negotiations and what's going on to, you know, they what their offer is and what the city council offer is. And we are offering this up, of course, not only to our police officers, but also the city, so that we can try to get some kind of dialogue going here. It may not be on the radio, but at least let our listeners know from each point of view what the other one believes. Somewhere in there has got to be a place they can meet. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Hi.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:14 in the morning on July 22nd. It's going to get hot today.
104 today. Currently, let's look over there and see where we've moved. 70 degrees. You know, when we come back to the next break, it's going to go up about 4 degrees. That's the way it happened.
It works its way up to like 8 to 9 degrees during the time we're on.
On this lovely morning, it's 7:13 if you're just tuning in. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. And by the way, tomorrow night is music night at the it's the summer music series out in Anselmo. Candice Lavolsi, wonderful harpist, is going to be out there from 6 to 9. So make your reservations now. It's going to be a very special night. Air conditioned, 5-star food, fabulous evening. Anselmo Vineyards.
And it's great. And this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, it's going to be hot today. Go into Espresso Joe's, get their icy drinks. Ice coffee, they have smoothies, they have, if you want a cool, tasty drink, you go to Espresso Joe's at Tobacco and Brew, and you walk next door and you peruse what they have in the greatest humidor in the North State. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew, Joe and Shelley, great Americans. You know, the other night we talked about on the city council meeting, we had a, I don't know if you would call it, well, it was an open debate on city council about the you know, the future of the of what's going on with the Police Officers Association and the Police Managers Association, and there was a vote that day, that night, to accept a gift or a concession from the unions of a 3.4%, we're going to talk about it something, but an offer from them if the contract was, you know, if the contract was extended. The city council voted to accept the concession or the gift, but not extend the contract. So the union is going to, or association is going to get together and vote about that. So after that, we of course offered the Police Officers Association and the Police Manager Association a chance to come on. And Sergeant Mike Thomas is with us. Or did I just blow that?
No, you got that right.
Okay.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
How are you
doing? Good morning, Mike.
So, good morning.
Well, glad to be here.
Okay. One of the things we said when we were going to come on today was, first of all, we want people to know a little bit about you. And, you know, how long you've been in Reading, how long you've been with the police department, and what your job is there.
Well, maybe to go back a little farther, I grew up in Southern California. My family's a old California family. Went to the Coast Guard first, which got me interested in law enforcement. And I started out as a police officer in Southern California, the city of San Bernardino, and came up to the city of Reading in 1987. So I've been here, what's that, about 23 years now, I think? And I've been a sergeant for a number of years here. I'm currently I'm the administrative sergeant, just moved over from being a patrol sergeant.
The meeting the other night in the city at the city council, how would you describe that?
I would have to agree with the record searchlight, a bit acrimonious, especially amongst council members. I think some of the council members, the majority, started to show even more of their true colors, unfortunately. Or maybe fortunately, hope the public will see what they're really all about from our point of view.
So do you believe that there's a, it's also a personality issues here. It's not just a debate over the financial part of it.
That's hard to say. I don't know any of those council members, Mr. Bassetti, Mr. Jones, or Ms. MacArthur personally. I only know them through their public personas. If some people want to characterize it as a personality issue with us, I don't know. They appear to have some agenda regarding us for some reason that I'm unaware of, especially even compared to other employee groups in the city. They seem to be targeting us.
Okay, so I guess whenever you have a contractual agreement in any kind of form, any place, there always seems to be consternation in some level because somebody will feel like they're not really getting or giving too much or not getting enough. I don't know. We are taking your emails, by the way. This should be very interesting for you, the listener, to email us, linda@kcnr1460.com. If you didn't make the city council meeting and you'd like to ask questions, this is a perfect time. But if you could put your gavel down and make a decision today for the best across the board to get it done, to get through this uncomfortable time, what would be your call?
Well, first of all, you brought up the issue of there being a contractual dispute. I'm not sure how you put it. There is no contractual dispute.
Negotiations.
Right, there is no negotiations going on. The Peace Officers Association is in the midst of a contract. Their contract expires March of 2011. The Police Managers Association, of which I am part, our contract expires April of 2012. So there is no contract dispute. We're in a contract. Now, if you want to characterize what's going on with the IBEW Association and the city as a contract dispute, that's very accurate because...
And that's the electrical workers.
The electrical workers.
Because they're in the middle of the contract negotiations.
Well, their negotiations are done, and they're very much in a dispute with the city. It's going to court. So that is truly a dispute over a contract because they were negotiating a new contract, and the two sides didn't reach agreement. It's gone to impasse. The city's imposed a contract, and now it's gone to court. But we're in a contract, as is the Peace Officers Association. So on a number of occasions, we've come forward to offer concessions. The first time we were asked, the second time, before we were asked, we came forward and offered concessions, which in our view is also a gift. Mm-hmm. So it's not a contractual dispute. At this point, the Peace Officers Association is so close to the end of their contract that they're prepared to begin negotiations for that very soon, I know. And it would only make sense. There's no point for them to go through this again with the city council in terms of offering a concession. Right. They're ready to begin negotiations real soon.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this. You know, people don't... one of the things that we were talking yesterday was that this did not have to be offered by the police, by the Police Officers
Correct.
Association, and they chose to do it before the negotiations even started. So we want to talk a little bit about that, but we also want to talk about the overall picture of this. So this is Colin DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio.
Good morning.
4 in the morning.
Huh. 7:24 in the morning. Today's the 22nd day of the month.
It is. It's going to be hot today.
Going to be 104. Currently 70 degrees.
This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off Airport Road, just down from Burrito Bandito. Been serving customers since 1985. You want a home theater system? You want dish Satellite TV. That's Doug Tooley, the owner, 82nd Airborne veteran. Give him a call at 244-1988. That's Doug Tooley and B&T Satellite. Our guest is a Sergeant Mike Thomas, who is from the Reading Police Department, is a sergeant in the department, and he's also a spokesman today for the Reading Police Officers Association and the Reading Police Managers Association. Association, what exactly is an association, Mike?
Well, in terms of bargaining with the city, it's a union. It's a bargaining group, an employee group, whatever term you want to use. It is more than that. Our associations also do fundraising for various charities and nonprofits in the community, and we use our associations to be able to speak out on issues of concern to us, especially law enforcement issues, apart from bargaining with the city, but just law enforcement issues when they concern us enough, in ways that we couldn't do if we were on duty as police officers. Now, the Police Managers Association is about 20 people. It's the sergeants, lieutenants, and captains of the police department. And the Peace Officers Association are all the line officers and the corporals, and that includes our last few remaining community service officers, a crime scene technician, and our two property clerks. And when people, especially when you hear it from certain council members, they almost use it up there on the council dais as a slur, that constantly point out the unions, or the union said this, is not doing that. Well, that's just us. There is nobody behind us. The Reading Peace Officers Association, the Police Managers Association, we're independent local unions, in one way similar to a local small business. In fact, the Peace Officers Association has been a longtime member of the Chamber of Commerce. So it's just us. They could just as well be saying, you police officers, because that's who they're talking to. There's nobody behind us when we deal
so
with
them. So
you're
not getting messages from President Obama telling you to fire somebody because they misunderstood what they said?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay. This is a difficult situation that we're in right now in our city. Our revenues are way down. It's not going to get any better. I mean, nobody can see that it's going to get better in the foreseeable future. Negotiations between the association, the city, and all the different unions, and I'll just use that term because it's all unions, is going on right now. And there have to be some changes, but I think what I gleaned from the Police Officers Association, what they were saying was, well, we don't have to do that. We do not have to offer anything right now. We've chosen to do that. Is this correct?
Correct, and on several occasions. We've already made a concession previously that was accepted and went into effect, no strings attached. And as you look back on the issue, we faced, in the three members I mentioned, Mr. Bassetti, Mr. Jones, and Ms. MacArthur, very demanding, inflexible attitudes. For instance, in demanding, we want you to start paying your 9% employee contribution to PERS to meet what we see as the need here, nothing else. It was a take it or leave it, my way or the highway, as Councilmember Stegall, put it the other night. She was very accurate in how they put it to us.
And so what happened from that one? After that offer, that one was not accepted, was it?
No, we politely declined because we see that as an issue to be brought up at the next contract negotiations, which we'll all face. And we agree, it needs to be faced. Even council members Dickerson and Stegall have said they want to deal with issues like our pensions and retiree health benefits.
Mayor Stegall said that when she was on the show here, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, said that things have to be changed.
Right.
Her response was it needs to be changed, you know, later.
During contract, not right now.
Right, during negotiations for a new contract, because that's a major change that brings up a lot of issues. And the approach the other council members are taking we view as very unfair and not nearly telling the whole truth about the history of what's gone on in labor negotiations here at the city.
Okay. We're going to have to take a break here.
And when we come back, we do have emails stacking up. We're also taking your calls, 605-4567, the hotline here in the studio.
Right. And when we come back, we're going to discuss your offer. The fact is, and these questions of where's the money going to come from, changes you see that have to be made in the system, as you've said already, is that everybody knows there's changes that have to be made. So let's talk about some of those changes also during this next half hour. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. In our 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:35 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest is Sergeant Mike Thomas.
Currently 70 degrees if you're just tuning in. Of course, it's 7:34. We're up in the last half hour here before our next hour break. It's the 22nd of July, and today's going to be a high of 104.
You know, we have to get these clocks fixed, Bob, because they have different times on it. I say 7:35. She's looking at one right in front of her. It says 7:34.
And the computer says 7:35.
Yeah, okay.
So. And then Reading.com says it's 65, and it's really 70 on another one. So, you know, ish. We're always in the ish
zone. We're in the ishes here. Okay. Our guest is Sergeant Mike Thomas. Is the spokesman for the Reading Police Managers Association and today the Reading Police Officers Association. We're discussing what's been in the paper, the city council meeting, about what the police officers are offering to the city, and we've got a bunch of questions here. But let's just be really clear that what the police officers are the association is offering up is 3.4% raise. Is it 3.4 something like that?
The Peace Officers Association
is
offering a 3.5,
and 3.5.
Police managers are offering a 4%.
4%. Now, this would be given back to the city, so, and it would be paid into the health care fund, and then that money will be used to keep four officers on the street.
Well, that was our proposal.
That was your proposal?
That they would use that money then
to keep the officers on the street.
Yeah, it would generate approximately $333,000 worth of savings for the city that we were hoping they would use to keep those officers on the street.
Which is what they said they would do. And to do that, you said we want you to extend our contract for 1 year.
Yes.
Okay.
Both groups did.
Both groups. What is so important about extending it for 1 year? Which was the big bone of contention.
Well, the last time we did this, there were no strings attached.
Right.
And the three council members that are the focus of all these concerns, Mr. Jones, Mr. Bassetti, Ms. MacArthur, have a history of dealing with us in bad faith. And as both groups approach contract negotiations, we're very concerned about that, obviously. There's no one who's saying, not council members Dickerson or Stegall are saying, oh, whatever the police groups want, let's just give it to them. No one is saying that.
Right.
We don't expect anyone to say that. They said, we need to deal with the pension and retiree health issues. We need to deal with those issues. We know that. We want to deal with them. We, above all, want to make sure that the system is sound, because we don't want to be 75, 80 years old and run into a problem here. We don't get Social Security. We're outside of Social Security. This is our only form of retirement. So we want it to be sound. But these three council members that we're talking about have made so many statements, both in public and in private, that indicate their inflexibility toward us, and sometimes even hostility, it seems, that we would just prefer not to negotiate right now. And by right now, I mean in leading up to March for the Peace Officers Association and a year later for us. Obviously, we would hope there would be a change in the council this November that would bring more sensible and reasonable people that would negotiate in good faith.
That's a big question. We're going to come back to that, but we have questions.
Several emails that have come in. The first question is, where should the money come to keep our police department strong? Question mark. Layoffs of senior management at City Hall, closing parks and recreation department, a special sales tax devoted to public safety, selling the convention center and rodeo grounds to the McConnell Foundation?
Well, thankfully, that's not my call. No one is saying there's not a lot of tough decisions to be made. We're cops. We make tough decisions every day. Sometimes life and death decisions. We know all about tough decisions. And we don't begrudge anybody on the council the fact that it's an extremely tough job, and it's never been tougher, not in my lifetime, to be a council member, not just in Redding, but in any city in California, to be on the board of supervisors in any county in California. You have to make decisions about what are priorities. And I might have a personal view on some of those things. It's not my role here, since I'm representing organizations, to give my personal view. We've cut tremendously. By the end of this year, we're going to be down probably in the low 90s in terms of police officers, which is a number of police officers we haven't had for, it could be a couple decades.
I remember them saying is that we're down to the numbers we had back in the 80s. Is that right? Is that correct?
I don't know if it's accurate. Certainly in the early 90s, it could be in the 80s. Our department has cut programs left and right, even in my job. I'm wearing three hats now. I'm doing the job that used to be three full-time people.
Wow.
So when people look at us and say, what about the administration of, for instance, the police department? In my job right now, I'm doing the job of three full-time people. And what that means is I'm not really doing the job of three full-time people because I don't have the time. I'm having, in my own work life, to prioritize. I have to put things off or not do things that we've done as a police department in the past. I mean, we've loved being a full-service police department in this city. It's killing us to see what's happening because we want to be a full-service police department, and we're having to make hard choices about what are priorities in terms of our own police service to this community.
It is, and we understand that. And like I said, we've got a number of questions coming up here. It's not your job as the police officers to find the money. It is a city council job, and that was, you know, and that's a very interesting and I think very true comment you made, is that it's tougher now than it ever has been in this city.
And that you're doing the job of three people. I think that people can get that, relate to what that is, with downsizing it. And many places in our country where you came in with a ready to do a job a certain way, and then now you have to, it's very hard to compartmentalize, especially when you're having to have the public safety is number one. So it's got to be difficult. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free from 60. Phone lines here are 605-4567, July 22nd, and it is 7:44 in the morning.
Good morning, and you know what? Looked outside the studio window there, and there was Pete Stiglitz. Pete came and left, but Pete, hello, hope you have a great day. It was nice seeing your face through the window. It's going to be 104 today, in case you're just tuning in. It's currently 73 degrees. We have a question for our guest. Another email.
Our guest is Sergeant Mike Thomas from the Redding Police Managers Association, and
yeah,
he's also speaking for the Redding Police Officers Association. Kind of.
Should I call you Mike or Sergeant? Sergeant Mike?
Mike's fine.
I love. Okay, now here's a question that came in. Sergeant Mike? This looks like it will be a personal campaign with the public employee unions attacking the council majority as anti-police, anti-Redding pro-crime. Will the police ads and campaign focus on finance and budgets or on fear of crime and gangs? What will be your strategy? That's a question from I'm reading emails.
Well, both associations, I hope, will be involved in the campaign. What the strategy will be a collective decision, not mine. And I wouldn't want to be talking about strategy anyway.
Give it away.
We've seen other ads, though, where the POA, our POA, was looking for candidates to run. Wasn't that one of the ads they were running? They were looking for candidates to run for city council.
Yes.
Well, now you've got 12. So
open a bag of worms with that one.
Oh. There's
going to
be, well, it's,
yeah. That could be a bag, depends
on the
fishing.
Bag it looks like there's, well, we'll wait and see what happens in August in a couple of weeks, see how many of them really do pull the papers. You know, just because you said you're going to run doesn't necessarily mean you are. But you could have probably, 10 people running for city council. It could be interesting.
Yeah.
Every one of them is going to be on this show at some point or another.
Something that you said earlier that was very telling is that you have never in your career or since you've been in Reading ever seen this kind of adversity in, with the police department and the city council and or among council members.
Well, if you look at the whole picture, I guess that would be true. In the early 90s, we had layoffs. Our traffic unit was laid off, but that was really a dispute between the city council and the state over some grant funding, and the council, at least the council majority at the time, was so irritated with the state that in, I would characterize it as a peevish move, they went ahead and laid off this, the whole traffic unit, even though the city manager at the time said that wasn't necessary. And to his credit, the city manager fought hard to get those officers their jobs back within 6 months. But we were obviously very upset at that time about them using us as their political tool in terms of, you know, just completely disregarding the careers of those officers who were laid off to make a political point with the state.
Well, it's, I don't believe it's any longer. I don't think it's a political point we're in with the recession and all that.
No, this
there could be a...
This is a different situation.
This is a completely different situation here. The payments, the health care, the retirement, everything is on the table now, and it's got to be, and for everybody that works for the city. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. And because we belong to a state retirement system, CalPERS is comprised of almost all state employees as well as the majority of public employees for cities and counties around the state. I think the changes that are going to come that actually are positive need to be made at the state level, because the city has to operate in a labor market. The labor market for our police department is in the entire state of California and actually other states. We have over the years recruited officers to come here from throughout California and even other states. So the labor market is pretty large, and so you can't just look at us in particular as a local labor market. The labor market is at least statewide. Actually, it's bigger than that. So the answer has to come at a state level. And locally, the city council, no matter who's on it, can only do so much to deal with these retirement issues, especially because CalPERS is a state system.
But they should be able to renegotiate and say, this is what we're facing. The idea of a two-tiered system coming in, as has been in others. The sheriff's department, in fact, signed their contract with the county, giving money.
We recognize that may be coming. That's one thing. For instance, the Record Searchlight always likes to beat us over the head with is that the Deputy Sheriff's Association, the county groups, made a deal with the Board of Supervisors. Well, they did it at contract negotiations. They didn't do it in the middle of contracts. They did it at a negotiation for a new contract, which is what we're expecting to do.
So we got to take a quick break here, but getting down to the crux of this matter is the 3.5, the Police Officer Association is willing to give up. The 4%, the Police Officers Managers Association is to give up. We'll keep four officers on, but you want to extend the contract for a year. The city is saying, we will accept what you've offered, but we don't want to extend the contract for a year. When you boil it down,
right,
that's it. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
In a medical...
No, people don't like it.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460,
Bob.
Clearly News Talk Radio.
Bob, thank you, our director. Engineer Bob, producer Bob turns around like, you know, we're on the air. Oh, we're sitting here just
chatting.
Okay. Having great
our
conversation.
Our guest is Sergeant Mike Thomas. Okay, you know, we have announcements made on the show here, so it seems like what you're saying is that the Police Officers Association, Police Managers Association, as far as they're concerned, that offer's gone. The three and a half and the four is gone since the city council voted. The only way they're going to take it is if, you know, take it now and no extension.
Well,
is that correct?
Yes, it seems to be a done issue now. We've made our offer. They've turned it down. So the next stop, it appears, is contract negotiations. So the Peace Officers Association negotiates first, and then our contract expires a year behind them. So my association is not going to have to negotiate for a little while yet.
Okay, here's another question that's come in. Would taking less money or reduced benefits mean keeping more of your brother officers on the beat? If so, what would be wrong with that?
Well, that's what we offered, and they turned it down. So that's exactly the reason we offered to take less pay, is to keep these officers on the job longer.
Okay. All right, so it looks like as of right now that the impasse is over, that it's not going to happen unless it's accepted, or unless something completely changes here in the next
four months. You know, I'd like to point out, and I know, Carl, you and I have talked about this before, and this was brought up at the council meeting the other night. When the council took the concession the firefighters made, they offered them a 3-year contract extension, which they now have. Their contract is extended until 2014.
That's a good point. It's going to be interesting. We're going to have, of course, we'll have somebody from the city council on, you know, to talk about this too. I think the bottom line here, and we've got like 5 minutes left, is this is what the people in our community believe. First of all, I believe that you love the community, and the police officers love this community. I also believe that city council loves this community. I think everybody wants the best for our community. I also believe that right now, you know, everybody's got their scruffs up, and been and there's a fight going on. So that doesn't do the community any good. There has got to be a way that everybody takes a deep breath, takes a step back, and then comes forward again with maybe a clean slate. People are upset on what's going on. They don't want to lose police. Yet they also see the problems we're having. People have lost their homes, their jobs. You know, unemployment's 20-something%. How much money can the city continue to be in the hole? Those kind of things. My question is: have we done everything possible to reduce our payroll, to cut everything before we go into the first responders? If they can say yes on that, then at that point, then the associations need to take a look at it and say, you know what, there's no money left. We need to do something for our community, not just for one or two people or 10 people or 15 people. It's got to be what's for the community, and both sides have got to say this.
Oh, we agree. And all along, we've watched the city council and the decisions they've made about the budget. And the city of Reading budget is quite large. We're a major corporation, if you want to look at it that way. They've made decisions about how to spend money, over which they've had choices. A few hundred thousand dollars here, a few hundred thousand dollars there. Some they've decided not to direct one way, but they have decided to direct it another way. So we've been watching that, and we've disagreed with a number of those decisions. Department directors have disagreed with a number of those decisions. The professional leadership of the city, the department directors, have disagreed with some of those decisions in terms of spending money over here when it should be prioritized over here. So we're looking at it in that light too. And so when these council members that we're talking about here come at us and act as if, you know, you're giving up everything is what keeps us from falling into complete anarchy here as a city. Well, that's just not true. They've made choices all along. They continue to make choices about where to spend money. And when you add up those hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, they come out to be millions of dollars.
These choices just aren't on these three that are sitting there. We've had choices made from years ago.
Correct.
That have got us into this.
Correct.
I mean, giving away the farm over the last 10 or 15 years, even though the economy was robust, even though we know why it was robust.
Well,
it was because of Reagan, you know, even though Clinton years, but they gave it away. So, I mean, it's, and I'm not trying to defend, you know, the council members, but I'm saying is these problems, as did so many others in our country, didn't start, you know, last year. These things started years ago.
But let me defend the city. You know, made choices. I don't see it as giving away the store. They made choices about where to spend the money. And agreed, in a robust economy, most of the city's problems are not caused at the city level. There are problems caused at the city level, I agree. But most of them are because of the bad national economy,
yes,
and
state,
the robbery of the city's money by the state of California.
Absolutely.
That's the majority of the problem here, and I wish that people would gather up their their banners,
their pitchforks and their torches, and let's all march on Sacramento.
And yeah, take the fight to Sacramento and to Washington, D.C., because that's where the biggest problem is.
I understand. Well, I tell you what, Sergeant Mike, we really appreciate you being here today. We got just
forthcoming.
A few
thank you for being
on our
show.
This is not the only time, because this is going to be this issue is very contentious. We're talking about losing four more officers,
and we want to cover all sides.
Yeah, and as we talked yesterday, this is a community station. We want all voices to be heard on this station, and it's just as fair and as equal as we can. And then let the people call in or send an email. So, Sergeant Mike Thomas from the Police Officers Managers Association and talking also for the Reading Police Officers Association, thank you very much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
You bet. Okay, when we start out on our next hour, we've got a couple of great guests. You know, we've got a local business owner, and we got Bob Dunlap from the new Shasta County Veteran Service Officer.
This is KCNR Shasta Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in our second hour on KCNR 1460. It is 8:05 in the morning on July 22nd. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, North State. Good morning, Redding. Good morning, Anderson. Good morning, Cottonwood, Red Bluff, Corning, City of Shasta Lake.
Shingletown.
Shingletown, Bridge Bay out there. You people that are just waking up on your little houseboats out there because you've got nothing better to do but float around today.
Get ready for a very hot weekend. It's currently 73 degrees. It's going to be 104 today. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Wanted to remind you that tomorrow night, Friday, Candace Lavolsi, our wonderful North State harpist, is going to be doing beautiful music. She is just an incredible musician. She'll be out at Anselmo Vineyards tomorrow night from 6 to 9 in air-conditioned, beautiful, beautiful food prepared by Chef John Stadelli. Make your reservations now. Call out there. Or go to our website. You can go to KCNR1460.com, click on the music series, and call out there and make a reservation.
Well, you know, we're going to be out there because Candace Lavolsi is the
supreme
consummate entertainer. I mean, and plus being just as she's funny, and she just puts on a great show.
And a beautiful woman inside
now. Absolutely. Okay, now before we get to our guest here, who is Bob Dunlap, he's a Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. I just have to share this with all of our people.
With our
listeners out there. If you remember the other day, there was a raid on a pot plantation south of Hayfork, and they arrested this gentleman from Manzanilla, Mexico. And they described him as a displaced foreign traveler. Now, the fact that Bruce Ross, and Bruce, you know, not every time, but Bruce comes up with some great things a lot of the time. His blog went viral, and that's a new term lately, which means that viral means, I guess, you know, it had so many thousands of hits and all these things. But because of that, there was an editorial he wrote that was very funny in yesterday's paper. But the bloggers that come on after that, or the people make comments, are also have senses of humor. Besides being called a displaced foreign traveler, how about an alternative horticulturist pioneer, a disgruntled Expedia user from south of the border, an undocumented pharmacist, a non-NEPA compliant agriculturist, perhaps. So,
and those are some of the nicer things that are
people,
said on Reading blog.
You know, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Most of the time they're calling each other these horrible names, accusing them of everything from bestiality to an unnatural love for the environment. Yes, the... get away from the
That's gross.
Dump. No, I mean, they do. They say horrible things to each other. In this case, there's a lot of funny things going on. Okay, now, switching to a man of great humor and great patience, Bob Dunlap.
Standard of excellence.
Yes, drives nice cars.
Immaculate.
Only on Thursdays.
Only on Thursdays. Bob is the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer, and you just opened up a brand new facility.
We did, Carl. It's a wonderful facility. We're so happy to be in there. After 20 years in the Breslauer campus and all the great things that Don Mangrum did to set the stage, the Board of Supervisors and Larry Lees got us going about a year ago with some changes to our location. And powers that be decided that let's get these folks out of the Breslauer campus and get them the facility that they deserve and our veterans deserve. So things were set into motion to get us a new facility. So in the old county library, we are in the first floor. I need to correct any misconceptions that we were lower than the first floor, but we are the first floor of the old county library in the north entrance. We're the only building on that block that flies a flag out in front. So if you're having trouble, find us. Look for Old Glory. It's right out in front there.
It's a beautiful building. I've driven by. We drive by it every day. Did I hear that Les Melberg, did he design?
He did.
Congratulations. He really has a great eye. And it's a beautiful. I haven't seen it inside yet. Carl said, and I've heard from many people that have, that it's really beautiful.
We'll have to get you on a tour before the DA moves in upstairs. And there's only two features that were left from the old library. And if you remember, if you were ever in the old library, you look up and you see the original rafters up in there. Now, that was captured from the old library. And if you're walking up on the mezzanine level where some of the books were about 100 feet in front of the main door, you'll remember the creaks in the floor. Well, that's feature number two that was remaining from the old library. That's still there.
Intentional?
I don't know if it's intentional or structural, but they're still there.
I think it's intentional.
Well, it is. It was a nice job, and it leads to. When you look at the new veteran service office, it is professional in appearance. It's pleasant to your eye when you walk in. Something special there that says that veterans are special. And we know that.
You're exactly right, Carl. And one of the main differences that we have from the DA's office, which is upstairs from us, is you walk in the main door in the DA and you're greeted with bulletproof glass and a receptionist behind a couple of layers and screens to talk through. And you come into our office and it's open, it's warm, it's friendly. We're greeting our brothers and sisters out there. There's no buzz door to get in there. You're welcome. And there's drinking fountains, there's restrooms. It's nice and it's homey for our atmosphere.
Okay, in defense of the district attorney's office, that people coming through his doors may have a different attitude than the ones coming through your doors there. Okay. We got to take a break here. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott, July 22nd, 8:14 in the morning.
It's called Turn Up the Radio by who?
Autograph.
Love it. You really play some good bump music, Bob. It's all about hearing the bump music that just kind of like turns you on to the next segue or the next segment. July 22nd, if you're just tuning in, good morning. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here. On Free Fire Radio, it's currently 75 degrees, going to be high today of 104.
Our guest is Bob Dunlap, retired, Chief Master Sergeant.
Yeah. Good, you got her.
And we've got a question and a caller. Al, you're on KCNR 1460.
Yes, good morning. How you guys doing?
We're wonderful,
great
thank
Al.
You.
Great
I just want to say I have had dealings with the Shasta County Veteran Services, and I've always been treated with dignity and respect, and those people are excellent. So is the hospital here in town, of course. And I'm a Vietnam vet, and we were dog handlers, so we lived on the perimeter. I got sprayed directly with Agent Orange several times, and it used to blow over our posts a lot, and we never really thought too much about it. I noticed when I got out, I was getting a lot of skin problems, okay? And I've had some stuff cutting out of me since then. 30 years or so has gone by. Now they say that vascular and heart, which I've had three bouts, you know, lost three good livings and over the years. And now they've admitted to that, but they say there's no budget for that. My question is, if we're not keeping the promises to the old veterans, how can we guarantee new promises to new veterans? So that, and I'm just wondering what the situation is now.
Well, Al, there has been some new regulation that just in the last few days, as a matter of fact, that addresses some of the Agent Orange concerns. And one of those is an additional three benefits or illnesses that might be tied to that, ischemic heart disease, Parkinson's, and type 2 diabetes. I would encourage you to come on down to the office and let's put a claim in for some of your heart-related anomalies. There might be some things that the VA can do. Obviously, their obligation is to care for you, and if they can't care for you properly, then they need to compensate you for what you experienced in your service. As far as the promises down the road, you and I both know that the money is finite. They can only write checks for so long, but while you're still with us, please come down. Let's see what we can do to help you.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Hey, yeah, thanks. I don't think you meant it that way, Al, as long as you're still with us. It means just come on down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know,
let's not wait 10 years to come down is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, I have a question because I've only been married to a colonel for a few years, and I've not really, you know, I don't have military experience. What is a dog handler?
A dog handler, okay, that's a person who has a canine partner that uses that for security or building searches or bomb detection.
We have dogs also in the service.
Okay, well, I didn't know if there was like
the canine.
I didn't know if it was a slang,
that's
a helicopter, but it really truly is canine.
War dogs.
Okay,
I've known units. They were the war dogs.
So it was.
I've known others that were not had names a little bit more even colorful than that.
Interesting story. I bet you this guy has an interesting. Everybody has an interesting story, but
well, here's my take on this, and let me go off on this. It has nothing to do, and you all can just step away from the microphone right now. But we do have enough money to take care of our veterans. We do have enough money, and if we don't, then we are cheating our veterans. There is enough money out there. No, but we're frittering it away. We are giving it away to other countries, to people that don't like us, to people that hate us, and yet we continue to waste money. So don't say that, and this is not, Bob's not saying this, I'm just saying, but there is money to help our veterans. And as long as the United States wants to stay in a serial war cycle, we better be putting a lot more money into this, because these young men and women coming back, just like Al said, deserve the very best in treatment, just as Al does, just as the World War II veterans, just as the Korean War veterans in Vietnam and Somalia and Desert Shield and Desert Storm and the War on Terror and Afghanistan and Iraq. They deserve the very best. And if they're not getting it, it is the government's fault, it is the administration's fault, because they can change it. Okay. Going back to our veteran service office here, it is great. I mean, you walk in there and how many people do you see in a month?
In a month, we're at an average of 550 in 2010, and the number just keeps growing. We opened our doors on Monday of this week after having closed for a couple of days in the Breslauer area, cottage number 4, and the lobby was full all day long. And we did some advertising letting folks know that we were going to be moving, and thanks to KCNR for getting the word out on our move.
Hey.
And I'll tell you, that lobby was full all day long.
We are veteran-friendly here, if you can't tell.
You are, and we appreciate that.
Well, you know what?
See the flag behind us with Rob Burrows lent to us?
Yeah, with all the people's names that flew in Iraq.
And Bob Alangi.
But, you know, I tell you what, the number of veterans that we have in the North State, and just in Shasta County, it's close to 20,000 from what I've understand.
Right.
That it is such a force that it is, there are so many here And they, you know, so the services that are starting to coalesce around here is indicative of how many veterans we have here. So we need to expand these. We need to expand out what we're doing.
And I think we have a lot more veterans than the CDVA numbers credit us for. And they are estimating 18,500. And last year those numbers were said to have actually gone down by 150. But they really don't have a good, accurate idea of how many veterans we have. We think it's well over 20,000. And we think that because our numbers in our office continue to increase. So what the governor did a couple of weeks ago is he signed a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Motor Vehicles. So when you re-register your car and you get your license, anytime you do that, you identify yourself as a veteran. Well, every few years, we're going to have some good statistics on the veterans and where they reside. That's not only good for us identifying our population of veterans, but it's good for outreach, too, so that we'll know where our veterans reside in Bernie or Lakehead or, in South County.
That's great. Yeah. Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning. We are on the air. It's a beautiful morning. 75 degrees. We're taking your calls. 605-4567.
Hey, Boo, thanks for calling. The address of your new place is
1855 Shasta. So if you're going north on Court Street, then you simply take a left turn on Shasta. It's about a half a block down. It's the only building with a flag flying out in front. The phone numbers have remained the same. The email addresses are the same. The staff is the same, although they have smiles on their faces this week. And our
hours.
Our hours, we have temporarily gone back to an 8 o'clock opening, closed for lunch 12 to 1, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday open till 3:30, Tuesday, Thursday till 5. But when we get our volunteer staff up and going again, it's going to be 8 to 5 every day.
What kind of volunteers are you looking for?
Funny you should ask. We are looking for folks that have some military experience, that are veteran-friendly, that are veteran advocates, that would like to do some projects to get our veterans some benefits that they might not realize. And, for instance, if you were wanting to go to Lowe's to buy a refrigerator, and they say, well, we give a 10% discount to our veterans, show me your veteran's ID. Well, there is no veteran's ID unless you were a World War II dischargee and you had a miniaturized discharge document, or you had service in the VA clinic, or you're a retiree. Yeah. Those three categories had ID cards.
How can you prove anything else? You know, because there's a lot of people who spent 2-3 years in heroes. I mean, really heroes.
Absolutely.
Out there. There's nothing to say that.
That's right.
That they serve.
And we don't expect them to haul around their DD-214 with them to show that they're a veteran. So what we're going to do is I've already got everything developed, got the supplies and everything. We just need some manpower to help with this, is that we will issue an ID card for our veterans. We'll stamp it, we'll authorize it, and we'll laminate it, and that'll be proof for their 10% discount at Jiffy Lube.
That's fabulous.
So lots of
places.
Do
they have to prove citizenship?
Neat about that is that is a way to, and from the layman here, it's honoring the vets for their service. That's
absolutely
just another way of, maybe somebody doesn't even want to say it, maybe it's too painful of an experience, but they realize when they go and they buy, for instance, that refrigerator, why shouldn't they get a 10%? That's a way of giving back. Wonderful.
That's right.
It is. And one of the things we were talking about, we just got probably 3 minutes before break, but let's just talk about one thing. There's been changes, a lot of changes lately in the different programs. Let's pick one and talk about that till the break, Bob.
Okay.
Your choice.
Yeah, the new change on what's actually in progress now is the PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
That's right, post-traumatic stress disorder. For those folks that were in a life-threatening or combat type of situation, the difficulty, the big problem was that it just took so long and took so much effort to get these claims approved through the VA. So the VA's answer was, let's make it easier to approve them, rather than let's put some more manpower to adjudicate those in the correct way. So it's going to make it easier to approve those claims. So you may have been previously denied for a PTSD claim, and now the bar has been lowered a little bit, so that those folks that might have been previously denied
So what are the qualifications to be, what are under the guidelines for post-traumatic stress?
Individual must have been in fear of his or her life in a very threatening situation, seen death and destruction, and must have filled out a VA Form 781, which is a stressor narrative identifying all the stress that they might have experienced because of this life-threatening situation.
Not necessarily been in combat.
Not necessarily in combat.
Not necessarily. How about being in the combat zone?
Not necessarily. That's correct.
How about being back in the United States and just reading things that have caused you
Well, that might be stretching it. The stressor narrative still has to be there, but they're not going to require the combat infantry badge be issued as they did before. Some of those medals that might have been unique to combat situations not going to be required.
Well, but I've seen people and and various things that under the old regulations, they didn't rate those, but they were right in the middle of everything. The combat action ribbon or the combat infantryman's badge, and then as things change, the rules change, they would have. And so, those kind of things that I understand. But some of the ones the way I read it was that you didn't even have to be on missions or any type of thing, and you could have been in a support unit outside the country and still.
That's correct. A lot more emphasis is going to be given to the lay statement of the veteran as well as a doctor's assessment.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's an interesting aspect because, we've got to take a break here in a few seconds. One of the things they talk about hiring veterans is everybody hears about this post-traumatic stress and employers really don't know what it is and they fear from it, and they find out usually it's very little. Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley, he's a veteran, 82nd Airborne. They've been in business since 1985. If you want a home theater system or a surround sound or dish TV, Doug is the person to see. You can call him at 244-1988. Doug does great work. We've had people call in and thank us for talking about Doug Tooley because he's done really good work in their home. That's B&T Satellite off Airport Road, just down from Burrito Bandito.
Currently 79 degrees, going to be high today of 104. We're taking your calls, 605-4567. That's our hotline in the studio. It is always open line, even though we have a very special guest.
Bob Dunlap, who is the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. They've just moved into a new location, and what's that address? We're going to hit it every time.
1855 Shasta Street, and that's just north of the county administrative buildings, a couple of blocks north of the courthouse. The only building on the block with a flag flying out in front.
There you go. And
isn't that where we were sideswiped?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And I was just getting ready to tell people. In fact, the car right now is at Coach Master, where Don and his a group of men out there, his artists out there, are putting the car back together.
We were there. We heard our radio station.
That's right.
With one of the guys working on body work.
Yeah, on that. But the thing about it, though, is that right there at that intersection, so watch it, my friend, because we got sideswiped there. That's where they had a major wreck there the other day. And I don't know if it's people trying to run the light or they're trying to make that turn or other people are trying to make it there to make it through the light. But I understand from people that have businesses there that there's a goodly amount of wrecks.
I don't understand why, but that's kind of a weird, not an association, but still it was that area. But the building, I love the architecture of the building. It's kind of leaning in, and it's got its own, it's another beautiful building in Reading. And I know they call it the Taj Mahal, but I still think it's beautiful, and I love when we have guests to show, different beautiful buildings in Reading. We have some beautiful architecture here.
Yeah, and the entrance there is nice. And again, as we said earlier, it's a place that when you walk into it, it's the ambiance for the veterans is great. Okay, we talked about post-traumatic stress, how the changes in that. You said there were a couple other programs with changes too.
We did. We talked about post-traumatic stress disorder. There's a couple other things that are on the horizon that we're just implementing. And locally, there's things that we'd like to do for the veterans that we're just not able to do. And one of them, of course, is that ID card program. We're looking for volunteers to help implement that. So actually, if somebody would like to do that and come on down to 1855 Shasta Street, if they're a veteran or veteran advocate, we might have a job for them on helping our veterans with ID cards and that type of thing.
Will this include a photo or just a card itself?
No, we're going to take their certified copy of their DD-214 and verify that they are a veteran, and we'll issue an ID card without a photo. It would be used in conjunction with the photo ID, though.
Okay,
and we have 50 or 60 businesses locally that have said, yeah, we'll give discounts to veterans, and it's either a 10% for services or buy one, get one free type of thing. And so we'll have a list of those that we're going to publicize and give some.
Well, you know what? When you get these lists, we need that too, so we can publish it. But Richard Merriman from NorCal Vets has been collecting those also. So I assume that you all are working together there.
Right. Richard has helped us with the list, yes. And we've expanded on that, and we've sent that back to him with an expanded list as well.
Another place that we love that has sponsored Carl since day one. When Carl first started Free Fire Radio across town is Tobacco and Brew. It's a place where the Patriot Guard riders, the old guard riders, all of the veteran groups go, and they have this meeting room that they give free to the public. Joe and Shelley have been huge supporters of the veterans, and wow. So, I mean, there's another... business that is knows that we have a beautiful country that we do live in, even though we're kind of in a topsy-turvy turmoil time in our nation. It still is the best place to have our feet planted on in this soil, and we love living in the North State, so we need to really value our veterans.
And that's a good point, is that we need to also be letting people know about stores that give veterans discounts, besides just on the website.
Shasta Center. They give a 10% discount every day of the week, not just one day a week. They all Kubler's Furniture, that center
in there. I know
that
has seen on that. I know that's in the center. I know it's seen on TV. Has said that. But these are things that we need to get out to our veterans. It's maybe a small thing to a lot of people, but for a veteran, it just is. It says thank you for what you've done.
Yeah. So. There's so many veteran-friendly organizations and businesses out there. And Pat Korch, one of the county employees, and I were talking out in front of the new building last week before we moved in, and he was looking at the wall that separates the outdoor break rest area from the main entrance, and he said, this wall is begging for a mural. And he said, I'm going to talk to Carl and Linda and see if we can get one of our local veteran artists to design a mural for that wall, maybe two or three artists, and have a contest and select the best one and see if there's businesses that would like to give a prize of some sort for the veteran who comes up with the best idea and paints a beautiful veteran-related mural for that wall.
Well, I've seen that hit the emails, but, we're more than happy to get behind that one.
Did you say Pat Korch?
Korch.
Pat Korch, piano player.
Yeah, part extraordinaire.
Yes, he is.
He's been part of your band.
Yeah, Pat, I just love, he's been busy all summer, so he hasn't played with me at Anselmo, but I'm sure, I think he's going to be playing with the Lou White Band at a Paisano Days.
And we're going to be talking about Paisano Days as we go on.
Oh, we all
too,
tie it in, Yeah.
We're all, this whole group up here is related
community.
Somehow. Yeah, we've got to take a break here. Bad Bob is giving us the signal.
With his finger.
Yeah.
Circle.
That's a circle. A circle means rounded up, right, Bad Bob?
Okay. Index finger, thank you.
Our guest is Bob Dunlap, who is the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. We're talking about the new building. We're also talking about new programs that affect veterans here in the North State. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 Clearly News Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Chef.
Oh, yeah, I asked him to play Casey. We need to bring Casey and the Sunshine Band up to Reading and do a huge, like, city party.
Casey, does he,
Casey and the Sunshine, they're still alive. What do you mean, they're still kicking? What do you mean? Well, are they still what?
Were they going to bring their walkers with them?
So no, they are still bringing the house down.
It's 8:45, Carl and the Bot, July 22nd.
Park
this portion of the
around.
Show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right. The guys down on Athens Avenue, D.C., Tim, and the Man in Black are cutting hair and having a great time at it. They are not stylists. They just give great haircuts, great prices. It's a great place to visit. The ambiance there, as you know, I don't even think you use the word ambiance when you walk into that barbershop because it's man's last stronghold.
Very butch.
It's a, well, the only thing butch there is the butch flat top wax they put on your hair. Like,
butch
looks
wax.
Like Bob has had there. Anyway, Cypress Square Barbershop, very veteran friendly right there. Go down and visit them. Now, well, our guest, Bob Dunlap, and the new office is at
1855 Shasta Street.
We're going to keep saying that because, you know, as we've moved and, so by the end of this hour, we're all going to have it memorized. You said a couple of the programs. We got some changes in some programs that could be very significant for veterans.
Right, especially for our Vietnam veterans, the Agent Orange presumptive conditions. They've just added two more to the registry, and that's because a lot of our veterans have come back with those illnesses, and the VA really had no choice but to identify that there's a direct link to their illness and their military service. And those three are ischemic heart disease, Parkinson's, and type 2 diabetes. So if a veteran was previously denied for ischemic heart disease or Parkinson's or diabetes, there may be an opportunity to resubmit that claim. Those claims will not be automatically looked at by the VA unless it was in progress and not adjudicated or not decided, or if it was after the 13th of July, which is just last week. So those folks need to come down and we'll submit a statement in support of claim and open up that new claim again.
And this is as direct results from Agent Orange, Agent Orange exposure.
That's correct. And these are we're talking boots on the ground, those folks that actually served in Vietnam, or in some rare occasions there be some brown water vessels that might have gone in through the inland harbors and
okay,
waterways.
Okay, I was going to ask if they were if you had
those are considered
on swift boats and stuff.
Exactly, those are considered boots on the ground for Agent Orange exposure purposes. And every once in a while, you get an airplane that had gone through the fog there and landed on a carrier, and the folks had to wash that thing down. If we can make a connection that way, we'll do everything we can to make that connection for them.
My cousin was flying there with him. He was in the cav, and mm-hmm. he said they were getting sprayed all the time with Agent Orange when they were out there. Didn't think anything about it. They just you know sprayed themselves off, but it went back in. I'm sure it's had. In fact, he had a number of claims that they were going through before he passed away. So, another program. Any other programs that have seen big changes here that we need to get the word out to our veterans?
And those are the two big ones. Those are the new new programs in the last couple of weeks.
Okay. The process of identifying our veterans. We talked about how the VA is going to start, asking as you re-register your car if you're a veteran. The numbers then, how do they equate to helping our veterans if we and say there's more? Say all of a sudden we find out there's 30,000 here. What happens then? Do you get more assistance from the feds on something like this or the state? How does this work?
Not directly. Our assistance is provided. We're primarily a county-funded office. But there is some subvention funds that come from the state of California. There's also a Medi-Cal cost avoidance funding that comes from that. But I think if we identify the fact that we have 30,000 veterans as opposed to 18,000 veterans, then the state has to look at that And there is an opportunity now to provide an additional two veteran service representatives if the funding, which is Senate Bill 418, is chaptered, which would institute Senate Bill 419, which would supply $11 million of assistance for veteran service offices. So that's a state or a funding thing, and that's really based on our numbers. And we've proven to CDBA already that you know, our numbers are skyrocketing, and we need the help. So we're first in line to get two more representatives here.
Now the amount of and I hate to put it down like this because I don't want to sound mercenary, but the amount of money that these programs on for our veterans brings into the county is not something to sneeze at.
It is really not. It is not. In fiscal year 2008-2009, our office was responsible for helping veterans submit claims, and they received benefits to the tune of $3.2 million. For 9-10, the fiscal year 9-10, that jumped up to $3.9 million. So that's a $700,000 increase in the space of 1 year. Well, that money is directly into their bank accounts and wallets, and that gets spent in Shasta County, and conservatively that rolls over about three times. So the impact for Shasta County businesses is about $11.7 million.
And let's remind everybody, you know, that these are benefits that have been earned by our veterans through combat, through service. And they've come in there at disability payments, you know, treatment for various injuries in combat or while being in the service. So I mean, this is it comes down to our veterans here. It's paid to our veterans, and just like Bob says, and it stays here because they in turn will use the money they get from the government for injuries and illnesses suffered while in the service. And they'll just use it here
while in the line of duty. That's
while in
right.
The line of duty.
One more time. Give us a number of the North State. Would that be to from Williams up, or where does the North State end as far as like ish number for veterans that perhaps are in this area that you have that are accounted for?
We can account for Shasta County veterans.
Okay.
Other states, I don't have those numbers right with me.
For the other counties?
For the other counties.
Yeah, I was thinking Tehama and this, okay. So for Shasta, then.
Yeah, for Shasta, the numbers are estimated at about 18,500.
That's Shasta County.
Yeah.
And I tell people, you know, Southern California or people that are from around the country, do you realize that there's around 20,000? I've always used that number, but if there's 18,000 in Shasta, you know it has to be way higher than that for the North State.
Yeah, they figure about 10% of the community are veterans. So if you figure there's a smaller county out there, you take 10% of that. I think that's the WAG they're using.
But in the North State, I hope they don't use that for all the counties, because I would imagine in North State your numbers may be up a little bit higher. Anyway, we have to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
It is.
Back down. No, I won't back.
Colonel Bott.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:55, July 22nd.
Currently 8:54. If you're just tuning in, you've missed an incredible show. And guess what? You can always go on the archives on KCNR1460.com and hear previous shows and today.
Yeah, we had Sergeant Mike Thomas from the Reading Police Managers Association and also representing the Reading Police Officers Association talking about what they, the offers they've made to the city, the fact that the city rejected that offer of, and so as he announced here today, that as far as they're concerned, it's a dead issue. So that this is, we're back to square one again. As far as are we going to lose four officers in December or not. So we're going to have somebody, of course, on from the city council to be addressing this. But our guest from our second hour, Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. We got to have a new building. It's beautiful. And by the way, everybody, you need to go down there and see it, all of our veterans, because it is a warm, inviting place. It is a place that is, I think, honors our veterans. That you don't feel like you're being in the
in the back of somebody's house. This is really a nice place.
That's nice to say.
It is.
It really is. And it is a nice, warm, inviting place. And the address is 1855 Shasta Street, and it's the only building on that block that has a flag flying in front. And it's a great place. The county really did good for us, and we really appreciate that. And I'll tell you, Carl, we have probably the best, if not the best, county board of supervisors and county administrative officer that stands behind our veterans. And some of them are veterans and some are not, but I'll tell you, they support our veterans' causes, and every request I've made through them has been answered with yes, we can do that. So I'm very, very, very happy with our board of supervisors. And you look at our facility, and that's proof that they did good for us.
Well, you know, the all the veteran service officers, and it started, I believe, with Don Magnum.
A couple years before him, but Don really got the things going. You bet.
And then after Don was
Dave Lanford.
Dave Lanford, and Dave spent so many times. You know, you would see Dave, and you'd wonder, how he kept his cheery nature. And then now you smile a lot so far.
So far. It's the greatest job, I'll tell you. I was a first sergeant in the Air Force for 11 years, and, we just help people. People is our business. That was my motto. But now my motto is, great is the nation who cares for her veterans. And I'll tell you, this, you put those two together, taking care of people and taking care of our veteran population, and the job doesn't get any better than this. I'm very, very happy to do this.
Well, that's great, Bob. And we appreciate you being here in Shasta County and doing this job. Any other, you've got like about 3 minutes here, any last thoughts here that you want to drive home to everybody about coming in to see you or anything like this? I know the hours have changed a little bit, 8 to
3:30 Monday, Wednesday, Friday, up until 5 on Tuesday, Thursday. We're going to get back. Now, we made a promise in October that we're going to reduce those hours temporarily to try to get our heads above water, but we need to get back to that 8 to 5 every day and help our veterans for that extra hour and a half on 3 days a week. So that is the plan, to get back there. We're going to try to do that without spending any more county resources, and we're going to try to do that with volunteer work. So we're going to get there.
And we also want to, this could be families of veterans also. I mean, if your father or mother are veterans.
Widows.
Or widows. And they think, I'm not sure. I mean, what if they rate anything, come on down. I know that you've helped people that they thought that, oh, my gosh, I know Dad was a veteran, but there was nothing, to be done, and they were wrong about that.
Yeah, and come on down might be the right answer, but also just give me a call. I'm seeing Shasta Estates. It's an assisted living facility. It'd be the third time I was out to visit those folks. There are veterans in that apartment area that they don't know they're veterans, or they don't know they have benefits coming. So there's probably a third of the population there that have some benefit coming to them.
I know Sharon from Home Helpers helps out a lot with this. If she identifies people that she knows are veterans, that she gives you phone calls.
She's been very helpful.
She's a great lady and helping the veterans out. So you got to appreciate that.
Kudos.
Yep. Thanks, old Bob. Thanks a lot for coming in, and thanks for what you do. And we're gonna, you're gonna be a regular fixture here as changes come. We'll bring you in here, and we can talk for 20 or 30 minutes about any changes the veterans should know. And we'll make sure we get these veterans-friendly places up on our internet.
That's great. And Carl and Linda, thank you very much for KCNR's support of our veterans' activities and for keeping the word out about what we do for our veterans. We very much appreciate that.
Well, thanks.
It's our pleasure.
You know, our guest tomorrow will be...
How can we do anything but?
Yeah, well, that's true. How can you not support the veterans? And is from the beginning is what we've said, in our community and our veterans.
Eternal gratitude.
Tomorrow our guest is Dr. Doug McConnell. He's going to be coming and talking about the new health care bill, which is not so new, but there's a lot of things to it that are unusual, including finding out that, in that health care bill, that you can be taxed in a strange way. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. This is Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta, Redding.